Everyone, it's Cardiff.
And Stacey.
And it's Friday.
Yes, it is.
And here at The Indicator, we make a show every single day on all kinds of topics.
Yep, everything from American flags to the collapse of the Venezuelan economy. And you guys write in quite a bit about these different shows, and you tweeted us, and you message us.
Yeah, which we love, by the way.
Yeah, we really do.
And sometimes you've got good things to say, sometimes less good. concerns, let's call them, or fact checks, and we appreciate those too.
Yes.
And today, we wanted to respond to some of those messages we were getting from you.
This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, yield curves and interest rates and Hyundais.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Support for The Indicator and the following message come from The Future According to Now, a podcast from Fidelity Investments and Atlantic Rethink, exploring innovations that may soon change our lives and potential opportunities for investment. More at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast.
Our first order of business, Cardiff?
Yeah.
Potato, potato?
I sit here humbled.
Oh,
I need to make a correction. In one of our episodes titled A Hyundai in Iran, I pronounced Hyundai completely incorrectly throughout the entire show. And a listener named Jeremy, who works at Hyundai, actually tweeted me a screenshot showing me a passage from Hyundai's company handbook saying that Hyundai rhymes with Sunday or Monday.
But actually, wait, the fact that they had to put that in the handbook feels telling.
Yeah. But actually, I really should have known that because a while ago, there was this great Super Bowl commercial about exactly this issue.
Win one little award, and suddenly everyone gets your name right. It's Hyundai, like Sunday.
Yeah, my apologies to Hyundai and all other owners of a Hyundai. Rhymes with Sunday.
How did you say it? Hyundai?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, feels valid. And in fact, this show brought up something else as well. This was part of a piece that we did earlier this week called The Price of a Hyundai in Iran. And in the show, we spoke with a man named Amir. He's 28. He lives in Tehran. He has a good job. He's been saving up for a car. Life was good.
Yeah, but things changed for Amir a couple of months ago when President Donald Trump announced that the United States was going to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal and reimpose economic sanctions on Iran, and also that the U.S. would consider restricting trade with any country that did business with Iran.
Iran's currency, the rial, plummeted, and the country's already fragile economy seems like it's about to take an enormous hit. But when I talked to Amir about it, he said he kind of liked what Trump did. He said Trump was finally taking on Iran's corrupt leadership, and he hoped the resulting economic turmoil might finally force a change in his country.
Maybe that's going to destroy the whole economic system.
It's amazing that you speak so calmly about, like, the whole economy could melt down. You just say that so calmly. Are you worried?
I'm worried, but there is nothing in my control, you know. I can do nothing.
What would you like to see happen for your country?
A miracle, maybe. I think a miracle, maybe a war or something.
Things are so bad that you're hoping for a war?
War, yes.
So after this aired, I got an email from another man living in Iran.
Hello?
Hi, it's Stacy.
Hi, how are you? This is Sina.
Sina is 27. He is an engineer in Tehran. And you wrote me an email after you heard the podcast on Iran, and you had some concerns. So tell me about those.
The main concern was that the person you talk with, called Amir, mentioned that he's looking for a war, for maybe hoping for a better situation in Iran.
Yeah.
And I a little bit shocked because I don't think that's the situation for most of the people. I don't know. This is it. Because I just want to the world know that we are not violent, to be honest. Because every time I heard it, hear that a piece of news or a podcast or something like that is about Iran, I get really excited. Because I say maybe this time we would be represented in a way that we are not bad people. Because the TVs and the media usually show the aspect, I mean, the part of Iran that people are burning flags, saying death to America and stuff like that. But it's not the majority of people. Most of the Iran people are really friendly, really peaceful.
What is your hope for your country?
I really hope for the Trump administration would accept to talk with Iranians, and Iranian leaders would be rational and do not demand a lot, and the two countries would find a peaceful solution.
Sina says that from his point of view, people are kind of hunkering down now, preparing for August 6th. That was the deadline that President Trump gave for most companies to shut down their business with Iran.
But Cardiff, before I let him go, he really had a special message that he wanted me to give you.
Oh, okay.
And also, please send my hello to Cardiff as well and say yield curve rules.
Oh my gosh, Cardiff is going to be so excited. He's going to be so excited about this.
I think yield curve is a very interesting, and I don't know why you don't like it, but...
And Sina is right, Stacy. I like him.
Yeah. Next up, somebody asked us a good question about, in fact, our yield curve episode.
Yep.
Remember in the past when the yield curve has inverted? In other words, when long-term interest rates on treasuries have fallen behind short-term interest rates, that has signaled that a recession was on the way. The yield curve is not right now inverted, but it's been getting a lot closer in the last year.
And the question we got was, if the yield curve is so great at predicting recessions, then why is everybody else so bad at it? Professional forecasters and economists, why don't they all just look at the yield curve?
It's a good question.
Yeah, and the answer is that people always find a reason to think that this time is different. So for example, before the big recession that started in 2007, people thought the yield curve was distorted because so many people abroad and countries abroad and foreign central banks were buying treasuries. So they thought that was throwing things off. Well, this time, a lot of people are saying that this time is different because the Fed itself, our central bank, is also now such a big buyer and seller of treasuries. And hey, maybe it is different this time.
Maybe it is,
maybe
though.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it really is.
All I'm saying is, given its track record, we should not ignore it. That's all. Just don't ignore it.
You and
Sina knows what's up.
I know.
Sina knows what's up.
I know. Next up, a lot of people wrote in about our commencement speech episode, specifically about something that I said in my advice to young graduates, which was, quote, never trust the data. And as a lot of you pointed out, you know, facts and data are sort of under assault right now. So, you know, how could we say this? So here is a very sober version of what I was saying. First, especially in economics, the methodology really matters. Numbers are revised, and even a rigorous analysis can turn out to have flaws. So what we try to do at The Indicator is, you know, always scrutinize the source.
And more importantly, remember also that we communicate facts and statistics and the like through stories. And you should just keep in mind that there's often more than one story that you can tell with the exact same set of data and facts and statistics. So just be conscious of that. And also try to be charitable about it when you disagree with other people. You can look at the exact same set of stats and facts and data and just see a different story.
Yeah, there can often be two very valid conclusions from the same set of data.
Indeed.
And finally, we would like to end this Friday with some good news.
Mm-hmm.
So our show spends a lot of time on the importance of a tight labor market. Well, a listener sent us this great chart from the Economic Policy Institute, and it shows that the percentage of workers who earn poverty-level wages has just hit a new all-time low of 11.4%. And that number tends to fall especially fast during tight labor markets. So let's hope that keeps going.
Indeed. That's everything for today. And please keep the messages coming. We obviously can't respond to every single one of them, but we do see them and we appreciate them, even the nasty ones.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and for writing in, and keep them coming. You can send us an email at indicator@npr.org or tweet at us. We're @PlanetMoney. Special thanks also to Megan Kane, who produced today's episode.
July 2016, a woman calls 911.
Hey, we got that emergency.
She sees a man who she says looks mentally ill, and she says she thinks he's got a gun, or at least something shaped like a gun. The police come, they shoot, but they shoot the wrong guy.
Augment is whole fire.
Hear what happened on the Embedded podcast.